Good morning. This is Becky Spieth, Direct Sales Specialist and a Christian Direct Seller. And I just wanted to tell you that I'm really excited you're here this morning. Today's topic is, am I on the right path? I get a lot of people calling and asking, or as we're going through coaching together or working on training or just praying with people at live events and workshops, people always question, am I on the right path? How do I know that? And, what can I do about that? The other thing that I see a lot is I see a lot of comparison. So you think you're on the right track, then all of a sudden you start looking at somebody else and you start comparing yourself to them or their success or the lack of yours, and you just really get uneasy in your heart and in your spirit. So I want to bring some peace to you today. So this morning I'm going to pray before we get started into our study. Father God, thank you so much for your divine wisdom and your direction. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that it is one of your names, that and the Comforter. So we thank you for wisdom. We thank you for comfort. We thank you for peace. And Lord, I just pray that you'll speak through my mouth of clay today, that you will impart supernatural wisdom and recollection of the word to me, Lord, that it will speak to the hearts and to the minds of those that are listening. And Lord, I just thank you for an amazing week that lies ahead, that we can serve you and further your kingdom. We love you, Father God, and I thank you for this honor. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So I love that we don't have to wonder, but he gives us the secret on how we can make sure that we're on the right path with him, and then we don't wander all over the place. You know, I think it's so funny when you see little kids, maybe when you're walking in a park. We actually went down to the beach this last weekend, and we went to a park, and there was this little kid there, toddlerish, maybe 3.5 or 4. And as the parents were walking down the path, they walked straight, like they knew exactly where they wanted to go. But this little toddler, he was all over the place, zigging and zagging, and it was just so precious and so cute. But I can tell you, he looked like he was expending a lot more energy to go the same distance as the person that was mature, that was with him. And it got me to thinking about the path that we sometimes go on as we're growing in our faith and we're growing in our businesses, that sometimes we're like that little toddler, zigging and zagging and kind of being a little squirrely all over the place, going the same place as the people that are a little more mature. So I want you to know that you don't have to lean on your own understanding. Don't try to reason everything out. But in all your ways, and this is the key, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. The submit word right there, it means to obey and to do what he says and he tells us to do. I know that in my own life, when I lose peace and my spirit man, that I'm off the right track, that I missed the path, that I got off the path somewhere. So I need to go back, retrace my steps to where I had that peace that went beyond understanding inside of my heart, because that's the will of God in my life. And I know that if I do that and I obey what I read in the Word, then I know that I'm on the right path. You know, in James 4, the Lord tells us another way about how we can stay on his path. But the Lord also whispered this to my heart, and I'm not sure who this is for this morning, but I've been hearing a lot of strife and discord as well. And so please know that I'm not trying to pass judgment on anyone, but that I really felt like the Lord wanted me to share this with you. So if this speaks to your heart, great. If not, just hang with me, because we're going to get right back to the path here in just a minute. But it tells us in James 4 what leads to strife, what leads to discord and feuds, and how do conflicts or quarrels and fighting originate among you? Do they not arise from your sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members? Are you jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled? So is that really what's driving you in your business? Is that really what you see? I know right now we finished the end of the year, and some of you had the most stellar, amazing years ever, and some of us felt like, you know what, it really wasn't what I had hoped for. So if you can keep that jealousy and that coveting at bay, you're going to be more open to the path that God has for you. Well, let's keep reading. It says, and your desires go unfulfilled, so you become murderers. To hate is to murder as far as your heart is concerned. So if you have even the tiniest amount of hate or contention in your heart, if you're jealous and you covet, it's almost as if you murdered. The Lord says it's the same as if you murdered someone. Maybe it's not even that you murdered someone else, but that you're murdering the dream and the true person that God intends for you to be. You burn with envy and anger, and you're not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness that you seek. So you fight and you war. The next sentence is key. You do not have because you do not ask. I love that. And then it tells us in verse 3, or you ask, and yet you fail to receive it, right? How many of you say, well, but no, I am asking, and I don't have it. I don't understand what's happening. It says, because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, with selfish motives. Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it in on sensual pleasures. He wants us to make sure that our hearts are pure, that we aren't jealous, that we're not coveting and wanting what other people have, and then wanting it so that it's just for our own selfish pleasures, that it's not for someone else or for furthering his kingdom. So what leads to strife in our life? And it could be that it's not even in the same area. What it does is it opens the doorway to sin and the enemy to come in like a flood. So if you're coveting something or you're not content or you're jealous in some specific area, perhaps your business or the success or lack thereof, it can open up for strife to come in, quarrels and fightings in the other areas of your life and in your business. So what leads to that strife? Jealousy, coveting, anger, envy, not being content. And the other reason why we don't have what we really, really desire is because we don't ask. Now, the Lord also mentioned to my heart when I was preparing and studying for this to go over to Matthew 7, 3 through 5. Now, this is an interesting verse because I was actually thinking about this as I was walking the beach yesterday, and the Lord just kept speaking to me about this as well, that a lot of times when we're questioning, are we on the right track, about the other person. But then, like, when we're unhappy, we can look at that person and we can say, you know what? I can see all the sin in their life. I can see how they mess up, and how can they still be successful? And the Lord tells us in Matthew 7, 3 through 5, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? That other people have and do, or we're always looking at all the things that they're doing wrong. And we don't take the time to look at our own path. We don't take the time. We see this little tiny speck of sawdust in somebody else's eye, and we've got this big, huge plank, this big, huge stick just poking right out of our own eye. Verse 4 says, how can you say to your brother, let me plank your eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You know, when we look at someone else and their life or their business and their choices, sometimes we only see things from our own perspective. We can't really necessarily maybe see that huge plank in our own eye. If we would just look in the mirror, it'd be different. Sometimes we might be completely wrong because we're looking at things from our perspective. If we want grace in our own lives, it's important that we extend grace to people in their life. You know, we can't know another person's life unless we've really walked through every aspect of it ourselves. So I want you to be kind. I want you to be gentle. But first, I want you to look at the plank in your own eye. What is it that maybe you're not obeying? Maybe you have jealousy. Maybe it's coveting. Maybe it's envy. Maybe it's anger. Maybe you're not content. Or maybe he's told you something completely different in the Word, and you're just simply refusing to obey. James 1, verse 20 through 25 says, For a man's anger does not promote the righteousness God wishes and he requires. So if we've got anger in our life, and anger can manifest in so many different ways. God says that anger, for man's anger does not promote the righteousness God wishes and requires. He wants us to be righteous on the inside. He wants us to be able to come blameless before him. So get rid of all the uncleanliness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word, which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your souls. So if you're not sure of the path, get into the word, because the Lord tells us that he wants to have that word get into our hearts like deep, deep roots. And then it tells us in verse 22, and I think this is key, be doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listen to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. Again, when we try to reason things out and we try to justify things out, that's when we get into big trouble. Verse 23 says, for if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he's like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror, for he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets what he looks like. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty and the faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing through his life of obedience. God wants us to not just be a hearer of the word. So I want to encourage you. There's a couple of great nuggets here. I could spend hours and hours on this one because there's just so much rich content here. But one of the things that we need to do is, of course, obey. And obey immediately, right? So that we don't forget. We don't, you know, let it just we become forgetful, just like that man that looks in the mirror and then he walks away and he forgets what he looked like. But we need to be a hearer of the word. It's hard to hear silence, correct? So don't read the word silently. We also know that we create things with our words, and I've talked about this many, many times, so it's important that we speak the word. That's how the Lord created the world, as he spoke it into existence. So if we want to create the kingdom of God here, and we want to create new things, if we want to not only renew our mind, but we want to create a new and different lifestyle, and we want to be faithful and do what the word tells us to do, we have to be a hearer of it. So I'm going to encourage you, when you read the word, to read it out loud, okay? There's something about when we hear our own voice, we obey it more as well, and it's hard to hear when we're reading silently. So I'm going to jump back over to getting back on the right path, because I've kind of rabbit trailed on you there for a minute. But we want to make sure that we walk in the power of God, and how we do that is that we need to make sure that we listen wholeheartedly and we pay attention to God's word, because we want to get it deeply rooted inside of us, because we know that the truth will set us free and it's going to keep us free, and that's through Jesus and hearing this word and doing what he tells us to do. God wants so many great things for us. He wants to heal us. He wants to give us a personalized plan for our life, but if we're not in the word, there's no way that we could hear it, and we might miss it, because, you know, we have to be consistent and diligent in reading the word, hearing the word, and then doing the word. So it's not hit or miss, and it's not that we're just going off and like, okay, yeah, I heard the word or I read the word, and then I go and get on with the rest of my day and my life. No, his path is what he put in the word here. Okay? So I just want to make sure that we're very, very clear on that. Let's go back to James 4, verse 6 through 8, because we're still trying to get a really clear, clear picture here of the path and making sure we're on the right path. We want to make sure that we are trusting the Lord with our whole heart, not leaning onto our own understanding, that we're submitting to him, that we get the we don't focus on the speck in someone else's eye, but we get the plank out of our own eye, that we don't judge other people's choices, and that we extend grace to people, and then that we are not just hearers of the word, but we're doers of the word. And then the solution comes here. I love this in James 4, 6 through 8. It says, but he gives us more and more grace. And that's just the power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. That's why he says, God sets himself against the proud and the haughty, but he gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. They're not prideful and filled with pride, but they're able to receive what God would have for us. So be subject to God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. So, that's what Jesus did to resist the devil. What he did, he was being tempted in the wilderness. When he was probably in one of the toughest places of his life, except for when he went to the cross, he was tempted 40 days of fasting. That's incredible. And the enemy thought, okay, now I'm going to come in like a flood, and I'm going to try to get him to give me over and say that he will give me the kingdoms of this world. And he will say that I am his Lord. But what happened was he rebuked the enemy by the word of God. He just simply quoted scripture. How could he have quoted scripture unless he studied it, unless it was deeply rooted in him, unless he knew exactly what God wanted for him? So we need to use that same example. Let me read verse 6 again. So be subject to God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. And that's exactly what the enemy did with Jesus when he was being tempted in the wilderness. When the Lord used scripture on him, the enemy fled. It tells us in verse 8, come close to God, and he will come close to you. Recognize that you're sinners. Get your soiled hands clean. Realize that you have been disloyal, wavering individuals with divided interests, and purify your hearts of your spiritual adultery. That's what we need to do. We need to make sure that if we need to repent of any sin that we have in our life, he wants us to be clean before him. He wants us to make sure that we can come close to him because he wants to be close to us, and he can't come close to us if we're filled with sin and willfully disobeying him and not getting close to him by reading his word. It tells us in Psalm 119, 105, that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So if we want to make sure that we're on the right path, we just have to get in the word more, right? Let's go to Isaiah 30, verse 19 through 21. And it says, he will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he'll answer you. Remember at the very first, we started talking about, you know, how do we get the things that we want and so that we don't have to be jealous or covet or be angry or be in a place of discontentment. We need to ask him. Listen to what it says he's going to do here. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. I love that. He's going to answer us right away. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes will constantly behold your teacher. If we keep our eyes on the Lord, he's going to listen to us. And even though sometimes we might go through some adversity or some affliction, it's okay because he's going to bring us through it, right? That's what he tells us. And it says here, and your ears will hear the word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. I love this because it tells us if we will draw close to him, if we ask him, he's going to answer us. Even though we go through adversity, sometimes we go through, we are walking with him, reading the word, we're fellowshipping with the Lord. How will we know we're on the right path? He tells us here in verse 21 that our ears will hear a word behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. And when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. So we don't have to guess. He's going to give us that peace that goes to understanding. We're going to hear, because we're reading the word out loud, that we are walking in the right way. So I want you to take courage that no matter what's happened to you in your lifetime, if you've been abandoned by your spouse or your parents, you've been hurt, maybe you've been abandoned by team members, upline, whatever the situation is, if you've been hurt in any way, abused, mistreated, any of those things, if you will stay on the path, the narrow path that God directs you on, and leave all your excess baggage behind you, all the extra stuff, if you ask him, he will give you the desires of your heart. Get the plank out of your own eye. Do the things we talked about today, and the Lord will give you peace and joy and fulfillment as you seek him. And he will tell you the way. He tells us that he is the way, right? He's the truth and the way. And he's going to tell us which way to walk. It's so awesome that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to guide us by the way that we need to go. We have that peace that goes beyond understanding. You know, we need to make sure that we also remember Galatians 6:9 that encourages and tells us, let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. Not loosen and relax our courage and faint. So, like, this last year hasn't been what you had hoped it to be. This last week, this last day, the last hour that you even woke up. I want to encourage you, don't faint. Trust that the Lord is leading you. Press into Him. Get into His Word. Obey immediately when you hear it. Release jealousy and coveting, envy, anger, discontentment. Ask of the Lord what you would have of Him. Make sure that you can stand before the Lord without a plank in your eye. Stop focusing on others. Focus on yourself and what you can do. Be a hearer and a doer of the Word. Let the Lord take His Word and be the lamp to your feet and the light to your path. God promises us that our ears will hear a word behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. Trust that. Resist the devil and he will flee from you when you quote the scripture. Continue to walk in the way that the Lord has already prepared for you and prescribed for you in His Word and by His Spirit. And you're going to enjoy humongous in eternity. Well, I hope that this helps with helping you to understand if you are on the right path, and if not, how to get on the right path. Because that's what the Lord has for you. I want to take just a minute here and open up the prayer or the line to see if there's any prayer requests, because I see we had several more people join us and we had many people on mute. Does anyone else have a prayer request before we go to the Lord this week? Any praise reports that you want to just praise the Lord for? Okay, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer, and so hopefully if you just bow your heads and close your eyes, you'll join me. Father God, I thank You that You have given us Your path, that we know exactly what we need to do to be able to walk that path, to be in joy, be in fulfillment, and to fulfill the call that You have on our life. Lord, I ask forgiveness for us, Lord, for any jealousy that we've had, any coveting, any envy or anger or discontentment that's been in our life, whether it's been in our business or in our families or even just in personal situations. Lord, I ask that You would forgive us for the times that we've judged another life choice of someone else. Lord, forgive us if we have not extended the grace that You have so lovingly and mercifully given to us. Lord, I ask forgiveness of that now. Lord, I ask that You help us not just to see the sawdust in someone else's eye, but that we can see the plank in our own eye. And that as we stand as if we were in front of a mirror, hearing Your Word, letting the law and the Word and Your love and Your grace and Your living Word just speak to our hearts, that when we walk away, we would obey and that we would not forget what that image looked like as if we were looking in a mirror. Lord, I ask that You would forgive us if we were not trusting in You and in Your ways with all our hearts, or if we decided to try to reason things out or to lean onto our own understanding and not submit to You. Lord, we know that You will make our path straight, that Your yoke is light, that even though sometimes we may go through adversity, that You will bring us through to the other side and that You've got great things for us. Because we know that we can't know another person's life, Lord, but we do know our own. And we ask that You will help us to be that doer of the Word, that You will help us to see that Your Word is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path, and we would walk in it. Lord, I pray a blessing of favor upon each person that's listening to this call, Lord, and each person that we are connected with through our businesses, Lord. I pray that You will help us to minister in the marketplace, that You will help us to be bold and courageous, and that we would stand up for righteousness and truth, and that we would be the person that would be standing up and willing to pray and be willing to share. Lord, I thank You for the amazing success meetings that took place this last week. Lord, that You will just bless the fruits of those labors of the people that worked and presented and prepared. Lord, I praise You that Pam is well and that she's on the mend. And Lord, I do pray that for her and for each person that's listening to this call, Lord, that You would do us that blessing and that favor of yours, and that you would help us to get into a routine. We know we can't do anything without you, that everything comes from you, but that we would get into a routine, that we could build our business with consistency and ease. And Lord, I just love you. I thank you that you are protecting those that are in areas of bad weather. I thank you that you've given us your love and your beauty, your provision in all circumstances. Lord, I pray that you will provide heat for those that don't have heat. I pray that you will provide food for those that do not have food. I pray that we can see your supernatural working on a daily basis. Lord, help us to be faithful, to be those prayer warriors that you would want for us to be, that we would be your hands and feet, that we would bring tangible blessings to those that are in need. Lord, I pray that you will help us to use our businesses, not for personal gain, but to build your kingdom. Lord, I thank you that you do provide us with blessings. Lord, I pray that you will give traveling mercies to those that are going on leadership retreats and leadership trips or trips that have been won by their company. Lord, I also pray that you will help those that are gone, that you will be with their families, Lord, that you will bless their families abundantly, that things would be going smoother and that they would have peace and that it would be a time of refreshing for dads that might be home or babysitters that might be home or grandparents that might be home with children and children, that their hearts would be turned back towards the fathers, that they would have that grace and that mercy extended to them. And, Lord, I pray that those that are returning, Lord, that you would give them clear understanding as they are starting to implement the wisdom that was imparted to them, that this can be a year of tremendous blessing. Lord, we've just seen evidence of blessing after blessing and double blessings and triple blessings and quadruple blessings and a hundredfold blessings, Lord. We've seen them already starting this year. So I pray that that blessing and that abundance would go out upon each person that's listening in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We give you glory and honor, and we thank you that we never have to question if we're on your path, because you will tell us from behind, no, this is the way. And I know that instead of pulling us along by walking out front and pulling us along, you've given us your path. You've given us the direction in your word. But you're behind us, speaking to us, so that you can carry us if we fall down, so you can catch us if we fall back. And you can help us to stay on the right path. And we thank you so much for that. We love you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, make it a great week, everybody. I hope that you're blessed abundantly more than you could ever ask, think, dream, or imagine. I hope you join us again next Monday and invite some of your friends to come along. And just be blessed by this. If you want the recording, it will be posted up on Facebook on my Facebook business page, The Christian Direct Seller. I also have another business page that's Direct Sales Specialist, and it will also be on my website, www.beckyspeeth.com. If you go to the tab that says free, there's a whole bunch of the recorded Bible studies and prayer calls that we've done in the past, and hopefully they'll be a blessing to you or to those that you serve. God bless you, everybody, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye now.